The room was hazy with smoke and other noxious fumes. Square tables dotted a wooden floor. Marking the table nearest that breezy view, Deaton strolled over and dragged a chair up to an empty side.
What's the game, gentlemen?
The guards arrayed at either end of the table wore the simple white linen shirts assigned to all enlistees of the Empire's many branches. The smoky gray coats that marked them as fleet guards hung from pegs next to the nearby door. The one hogging the window seat, the beefy man with the impressive mutton chops, glanced at Deaton.
Rabbit.
That the menu or the game?
Never played rabbit before, huh? Sure you want to put a wager down?
Deaton felt the weight of the grains in his pocket, considering. He had scarce little to lose, and these louts were no doubt testing him to see if he'd buy into their probably made-up rules. But they were guards, remnant guards, if the black patches sewn on their sleeves held any truth, and he needed information. Better, he needed buddies on that island. And the best way to turn a target into a friend, Deaton had long since discovered, was to lose a whole lot of grains to them.
I'll have you know I'm a man eager for knowledge, thirsty for new experiences. I'll play your rabbit and roast it too.
Suit yourself.
Mutton Chops dealt out a fan of face-down cards before each of them.
I'm Garg, and this here's Yisan. Buy-in's a copper.
Is that all?
As he scooped up his hand, Deaton let one card drop and fall face up onto the table. Mustering a blush, he pretended to fumble and snatch it up quick as could be, slapping his palm down over it in an effort to hide the face, but not fast enough.
See? I'd say I had butterfingers, if I could afford butter.
What is it you do, Wenton, that you can't afford some butter for your bread?
Who said I could afford bread?
Yisin tossed a card face up onto the three antes.
Match house or color? Toss it down the rabbit hole. And you?
He signaled to a harried serving girl.
Bring Wenton here a beer, will you? I take it you can afford beer?
I would rather spend my grains on beer than bread, it's true.
Deaton pitched in a matching color of low house. Garalt's brows shot up. Low houses were good, then. Garalt flicked down a high house.
What you doing in this stinkhole?
Truth is, lads, I'm a prospector.
Of what?
Medals, gems, whatever I can scrounge up out of this cracked dust bowl.
Deaton smirked, laying down a random card.
What? You two think I might be some kind of sensitive? Wish I had a talent like that, sensing cell. Would mean I'd always have work, eh?
I wouldn't want it, that's for damn sure.
Right you are. At least when you sign on for the fleet, you get good pay and the right to quit if you ever wanna. Those sorry sacks, the cell sniffers, they are stuck tight. Empire needs them to keep the fleet afloat, and sure as the pit doesn't want them falling into anyone else's hands. Harsh punishment for those who get caught running, too.
The Remnant's no pretty place, but it's better than a hanging.
Deaton didn't bother looking at whatever card he lay down. So the Remnant housed rogue cell-sensitives. A nice juicy bit of bait to stick on the end of the lure he wanted to lead out to Pelkaya.
Sounds like a sweet gig, minding the old bars. The fleet hiring?
For the island? Wish they would. Way it works now, we only get one day of leave time. Can't get far from the Remnant in just a day. It's Petrastad or one of those little fishing villages.
Pah!
Yisin tossed down a card.
They call themselves fishermen, but we know they're smugglers. Pearls mostly, I think. Don't know why the Empire doesn't shut them down.
Mind pointing me towards the bathroom?
Got into you already, has it? The bathroom's down the hall. But, I warn you, the reason it's called a bathroom is because the only thing you'll want after visiting it is a bath.
Deaton rose, effecting a sway, and left his cards face down on the table. With full knowledge, they'd peek at them the moment he was out of sight. He pretended an orienting glance, then swaggered out into the hall. Tibbs waited there.
Win anything?
Oh, pits, no. In fact, we'd better scuttle off before they come out here looking to see if they can squeeze any more out of me.
Thought we didn't have any grain to lose.
Bah! Your short-sighted, pocket-pinching ways never failed to distress me, old friend. It was not the proliferation of grains I was after, but the information.
Really? And did you manage to lose some information, too?
You wound me.
I don't know,
Deaton stepped aside as a broad-shouldered man staggered out of the card room's doorway into the hall with them, obviously having stomached more ale than Deaton could manage.
Excuse me.
And rammed his shoulder straight into Deaton's chest. Deaton nudged the man upright and steadied him.
Are you all right, mister?
Bunch of cheats in there.
The drunken man patted Deaton's chest with one sticky hand.
You're all right, though. I like you.
The man turned to struggle his way down the stairs, but he had not yet let go of Deaton's shirt. Everyone froze, staring at the spill of cards that Tibbs had dealt Deaton to keep his hands busy while they were locked in a cabin on the Larkspur, splayed out across the stained hallway floor.
Cheater!
The drunken man grabbed Deaton's rumpled shirt in both meaty fists. His back struck the wall. Deaton kicked the man hard in the crotch. The drunken man dropped Deaton and staggered back, folding up upon himself. Tibbs grabbed Deaton by the sleeve and jerked him toward the stairs. Deaton scurried after Tibbs, tromping down the steps and out into the strange streets of Petrostad. A fine mist ensconced the city, bitter cold and obscuring as night crept in across the waves.
I blame you for that.
Blame me all you like. You still owe me a new deck of cards.
Preposterous! I could not have foreseen that brute's...
There they are!
The singular window of Lottie's cards spouted two heads. One of them hurled a lantern. The lantern splashed burning oil a mere few paces from where Deaton hunched.
Now that was uncalled for!
Come on!
Tibbs took off down a side street, and Deaton sprinted after him, boots slipping on the mist-slick cobblestones. Deaton was beginning to think that he'd grown too old for this kind of nonsense when he rounded a corner and confirmed the fact. Sitting smack in the middle of the lane, cross-legged and drooping with boredom, was a girl of about 13. Her round face puckered upon sighting them, as if they were expected.
Finally! Thought I'd be here all night waiting for you two idiots to turn the right way.
Begging your pardon, miss, but we are in a bit of a hurry.
And doing a poor job of evasion.
The girl stood in one fluid movement and flexed her bare feet against the stone road.
You're one of Pelkaya's.
They warned me you were clever. Now hurry before that big brain of yours gets staved in by your new friends.
The girl took off without another word, slipping along the streets as if she'd been born to them. They ran after her. After running what felt like half the night away, but was probably only a mere quarter mark, they staggered to a stop. The girl crossed her arms and eyed them.
You two geezers having heart attacks?
Oh, the cruelty of the young and snot-nosed wounds me so.
Ugh, you do think you're clever. Pity.
Who in the black skies are you?
Ugh.
She turned down a side lane and vanished in a cloud of mist.
What in the...
Deaton scurried after her. The mist felt cool to his skin, sticky with the brine of the sea.
Creepy kid.